Hey, what's going on, everyone? You are tuning into the Arkansas Children's Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow podcast, and I'm your host, Ryan Howard. Today, we're getting the opportunity to hang out with Katie Pizen to discuss the educational program here at the hospital. Katie, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, good. We're excited to have you here. So I got to say this. I feel like I was talking about this a second ago off camera, but no, I was really excited about doing this interview because I was saying I have a really soft spot for educators. I really respect and love the work that you guys do. And just I feel like it's amplified with you guys being in a pediatric healthcare facility. So I just had to get that out first, man. Thank you guys for everything you do. So let's go ahead and get into it. So for the people at home that may not be familiar with the program here, the educational program here at the hospital, can you please give them like a brief overview of kind of what your role entails?
So I am one of three. So we have an elementary school teacher who's in charge of kindergarten through fourth grade. I'm the middle school teacher, so I help those patients that are in fifth grade through eighth grade. And then we have a high school teacher who does 9 through 12. So we are here 12 months a year, and we help the patients that have been here for about a week or so typically, unless there are certain diagnoses that we know are going to be chronic, long-term, and then we meet with them, get their education information, and help set them up for success, whether it be helping them with schoolwork while they're here or any documentation paperwork that they'll need after discharge, communicating with the school so they don't get counted absent. So all of those things.
I think that's so cool that that the kids have that resource here in the hospital so they can still make sure that they're learning while they're here. Which kind of brings me to my next question. So, like, I imagine that the educational, that trying to educate children is a bit different in a hospital setting versus traditional classroom setting. Can you do me a favor and kind of speak to how our program addresses the unique challenges of educating children who are hospitalized?
It is a very unique environment because, one, sometimes you're dealing with a kid who just flat out doesn't feel good. And so wanting to do schoolwork is not their type priority, obviously. And so it's the, you know, being there for them saying, I know you don't feel good, but let's get this done. But also understanding, you know, that they don't feel good. So you express that to the school. You know, if they don't need to do all 15 assignments, can we do 4 in this week? And so it's that advocating for them while they're here, but also encouraging the kid to get up and do something, because one, getting out of bed sometimes helps you feel better. 2, let's get up and do something normal. A normal sixth grader is having to do math. And so sometimes that's nice for them to do something that's not medical. It's what everybody else their age is doing. So they get to do school, they get to be around us, and then hopefully we are helping them be successful post-discharge. By being able to seamlessly go back to school.
That's awesome, man, because I can imagine as a kid, I mean, like I can think about my experience as a kid, getting an education is already hard enough as it is. So I can't even imagine not feeling well and still be trying to be educated as well. So, man, I think that's so cool that you guys accommodate them. So kind of speaking to the program a little bit and also piggybacking on what you said, I feel like you kind of alluded to this a little bit. But can you kind of speak of some of the educational services that you all's program offers, and how are these tailored to meet the needs of those patients that may be going through the program?
So we have group school Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 9 to 11:30, and that's any kid that can leave their room can come into the classroom. It's open that entire time. We'll have some kids who come and leave and then come back due to medical things that they need to go take care of. And that's where they can come sit in our classroom, which is a very cool space. It's not a typical classroom. They can come and either use our space just to do schoolwork or come and get help from us because we're all certified master's level teachers. Those kids who cannot leave the room due to counts, procedures, isolation, we will make a time to go to them one-on-one so that they can still get the help that they need. And sometimes it's a mixture of both.
There's individual and group learning options that are given, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do those differ from one? I mean, I guess obviously having a bunch of kids in one classroom is going to be a little different from the individualized education process. But can you speak to how different those are?
We always encourage those who can leave their room to come to the group school for 2 reasons. 1, they get out of the room. But 2, they'll end up being around other people. Like, and it could be someone their age or not, but even that social interaction sometimes is a huge part of their healing. You know, get out, talk to people, learn about people, get to talk to other people about yourself. And so we always encourage that. The one-on-one is going to be just me and that patient working on whatever it is they need to work on. And that's okay too, because sometimes that one-on-one is what they need. Maybe they don't need the distraction of the group school. Maybe they do better one-on-one. But anytime we can get them out of their room, we certainly encourage that.
Oh, man. I think that's so cool that y'all do that. I guess I didn't even think about that. Like, being in a hospital, you kind of end up missing that social aspect that you get in school. Like, I think that's one of the benefits of going to, like, school. You get an opportunity to learn how to really, like, interact with other people. So it's so cool that y'all have systems put in place to still allow these kids to be able to interact with other children around their age. I think that's so awesome.
Very important.
Mm-hmm. So another thing I feel like you kind of talked about this too, but with the tailoring the needs to the kids, but how are you guys able to adapt lesson plans to accommodate the diverse medical and academic needs of students?
So we like to get the work from their actual school so that they're doing the same thing their peers are doing, with the intent of when they go back, they've done the same work, so there's less, hopefully, lag in academics. With that being said, they're not going to school for 7 hours like the normal kid. So we tailor it to a smaller assignment, getting rid of we're not going to do the color by number when we need to do the math sheet. So we get rid of it that way, but that's also where you build that relationship with the school so they understand and they respect what you're doing too, and you kind of have that communication. And so the school recognizes we don't need to send everything. We only need to send truly, truly what they need to know and have learned when they return. You want to set the kid up for success. Mm-hmm. If I only have 45 minutes with them and I ask them to do 30 math problems, they're not going to be successful. And sometimes we need little wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do that. We're going to set them up so that we can get that assignment done and we can check that off and submit that and show that school the kids and what you've asked them to do, and the kid feels like they've done what they were supposed to do or accomplished something that day.
So y'all are actually partnering with these schools to make sure these kids are where they're supposed to be still, so that they, when they go back, they can actually be with their peers educational.
Yes, that's the goal. We're very lucky that the majority of the schools we deal with are so gracious and kind, and they understand that they don't know much about this side of things as far as the medical thing. So a lot of times it's us saying, hey, you know, they do come to school, but they also have PT for an hour a day. They have OT for an hour a day. They have this, this, and this, and that's going to take away the available time for school. And a lot of times the schools don't know what they don't know. And so that's part of our job, is to say, hey, we're going to get this done, but we're going to have to do it a little different. And so by building the relationships with the school, it helps the patient, it helps us, it helps everybody be successful. And so I appreciate our school districts that are very open to what we have going on here, and recognizing that we want the best for them as well, just as they do.
Man, that sounds like a really awesome partnership between you guys and the schools that you that the kids go to, that you guys are helping. This kind of brought me to a point. So it sounds like working with those schools is really cool, but like, what else are y'all doing to help the kids when they re-enter back into school? So when they're actually treated and they go back, I imagine that partnership with the school helps them a lot, but are there other things that you guys do to help them upon that re-entry back into public school?
So, you know, unfortunately, there's gonna be kids who get into car wreck or some sort of accident that is going to make what they look like and can do different than when the last time the school saw them. And so that's going to be a lot of us talking to them and figuring out the best transition plan, whether that be they need a 504 plan to give them those accommodations, which may be temporary, or an IEP due to long-term needs. And we set those things up with the school, communicate those. We do a lot of back-to-school meetings, whether it be over the phone or Zoom, and that will be school administration, teacher, then school nurse, to help set that up, and everybody can ask those questions so that when the patient returns back to school, all those needs are already set up and communicated, so that when they do go back to school, they're set up for success on that end as well. We still communicate with the schools even after they leave. And I think that's a lot of what people don't realize is, yes, we talk to them while they're here. There's a lot of communication post-discharge because there'll be things that we thought were going to work when they were here, got to school, you know what? That's not working. And they'll call us and say, we need something different. Okay, let's get that done. So we do communication even after discharge.
So it sounds like, maybe this is me on the outside looking, it sounds like there's almost like an all hands on deck, like holistic approach between you guys, the parents, and the schools and set up to make sure that the kid is being set up for success. So that's awesome. And I guess I said success a moment ago. How are you guys able to measure success or the effectiveness of your program?
I love that question. So for me, my first success is always looking at a parent and saying, let me take care of that for you.
Mm.
That's my first success. When I see the parent kind of relax and realize that they can just be mom and dad, grandma, uncle, aunt and uncle. Your kid's in the hospital. You don't need to worry about that side of things. I've got that. My second success is meeting a kid and getting them to recognize that we're going to end this together. We're in the trenches together. We're going to get it done. And having them come to the classroom and feel comfortable and look forward to coming back. Once we get all of that, the schoolwork's going to happen.
Mm.
They're going to be more motivated because kids just want to know you care. People at the end of the day want to know you care. So we do that. That's our success. And then our success is when the school calls us going, thank you. They've come back. Everything is going great. And we just wanted to let you know. Love that.
I got to ask this too. Like, I imagine being in a hospital environment versus the classroom environment, I imagine that some of the tools and technologies that you guys use in a classroom is probably going to differ a little bit. Can you kind of speak to some of the tools that you guys are using? Like, are you guys using
smart boards?
All the other jazz that they're using in school?
We don't have a smart board. We do have a big TV that we can display stuff on. And we typically don't use a lot of that because it's more one-on-one tiered, geared towards like what you have going on. But what's great about this environment is if one kid needs something, we can go find that and get that for that kid for the moment. And we're so blessed in that way. And so, you know, in a public school environment, you're having to worry about 150 kids and schools don't have a lot of money. And so they're not going to be able to get something as quick as you would like.
Mm.
Here, we typically have a way to get stuff that we truly, truly need. And so that's wonderful. There have been certain things we can even kind of send home with a patient that they're going to need. And I love that. It's so much better when you can take the time and give them truly what they need to learn something, whether it be counting blocks or markers or whatever it is. So we have definitely more access to materials than I did prior when I was in public school.
I want to kind of shift a little bit and talk about you guys, the staff that we kind of have here, the educators here. Like, what I think is so cool is that this program is ran by teachers that have been in the classroom, and y'all are the top of the top, cream of the crop, man. Like, really good educators here. Can you take a moment to kind of speak about the training that you guys have kind of gone through to be in this position at this point?
So we are so lucky, the three of us, and our different backgrounds. Our elementary teacher taught for 10 years in public school, and she taught in a self-contained autism classroom.
Oh, man.
So her background is special education, thinking outside the box, which is such a gift for us. My background, I taught 10 years science, 7th and 8th grade science. So I'm a science nerd to my core. And then our high school teacher is a math teacher in her background. She came from Memphis. She actually came here for this job. So she taught 10 years in Memphis teaching math. And so having all of those backgrounds is great because there'll be a kid who comes to me and they're in some elevated advanced math in 8th grade. And I'm like, Leah. And so we help each other in that way. And then when she, you know, they have a kid who needs help with science. So though we have our set kids, if our strengths are needed in a different age group, we're going to do that.
Hmm.
So that's been wonderful. And I love that.
That's awesome. So you guys have to go through I imagine working in a hospital setting, you got, and I guess it's the same thing with when you're teaching in like public schools or private schools, the ongoing education piece. Do you guys have to go back and like sharpen your skills up periodically?
So we do have to maintain our Arkansas State teacher license. And so that's renewed every 5 years. We have a bachelor's degree and we all have a master's. And then we maintain our license by doing professional development every year. Some of those are mandated. And then there's others that you get to pick. And I know for us, we typically kind of look for a lot of like the alternative learning styles, that kind of stuff, because that's typically what we're using here in this environment. So we definitely do a lot of professional development on that. We attend conference in Hot Springs every year, the Department of Education conference, where we get to hear the latest legal things, because we deal a lot with that when a school says, well, we can't do that, and we kind of have to go, but you have to, you know, and so we have to keep up to date on that, plus any sort of new thinking, new resources or products, we try to keep up with those as well by attending those conferences.
And I guess I want to shift a little bit towards you a bit. So how long have you been working here at Arkansas Children's?
I have been here about 7.5 years.
Oh, wow, man. So how have you seen the program evolve since you've been here?
When I first started, our classroom looked very different. We renovated it about a year after I started. So me and the high school teacher actually started the exact same day.
Oh, wow.
So we've seen this happen together. So we went through the renovation of the classroom where we got to make it what we wanted, which was more welcoming to kids of all ages, to have comfy chairs, that kind of stuff. On our job side of things, we have seen a lot more need for our services, even in the clinic side of things. And with mental health, we've had to become better advocators for that at schools too, recognizing that and being sensitive to that and helping the schools kind of become more sensitive with that as well, because human nature, we get wrapped up in what we do. And sometimes we need to be reminded that not everybody's world is going as smooth as we think it is. And so we've seen a lot more of that advocating side of things come into play for us. And I think our need has grown. Our services are needed more and more. Started with COVID when everything shut down, parents going, white flag, don't know how to do this, to just the pressures of school becoming more for them. And so that reflects when they come in the hospital as well. So we have gotten better at that part, but I'm seeing our need grow and grow.
Is there a lot of collaboration between you guys and the clinical staff here periodically, or is it?
Not all clinics, I would say, are Hemont Clinic. We deal with a lot. Infectious disease, those kinds of clinics, the ones that involve chronic diagnoses or kids that something happened and they're going to go home with a PICC line, or maybe even a parent who says, we're not getting everything we need, and they don't mention it until they get to clinic, and that they call us to come down and be the ones to advocate for them. I tell my parents all the time, let me be the bad guy. I don't have to go back. I don't have to show my face at the school. Let me be the bad guy. And so we do that a lot too.
I got two more questions because I could do this all day.
I love it.
So what is one thing that you wish more people knew about your program?
I think just knowing that we exist sometimes. Our patients and families who come here a lot know we're here because they're here a lot. So I hope that I would love for more people to know we exist. I would love for the community to know we exist. I think that's important to know that Arkansas Children's, everybody knows who Arkansas Children's is. And I think when we're promoting all the wonderful things that happen here, I think including that we also help on this level takes our hospital to a whole new level. Because then people will be like, oh, they're really taking care of everything and every part of the child, not just the medical side. So I think I would love for the community to know that.
Awesome.
Because I'm so proud of it.
So last question. This is something I love to ask people, ask everybody that comes on the podcast, just because I think it helps a lot of people, the kid parents at home, get a good understanding of how great our staff is. But We know that teaching is, it can be tough. It's a challenging profession. You know, you and I were just saying, people that get in this job, they get in there, going to that role, they have to like really love it, man. So my question for you is, what is your why? What gets you motivated about coming in every day and helping those kids out and giving 110%? What is your why?
It's the kids. I've been very lucky that my childhood was great. I came from a great background, great parents. I was smothered with love. When I got into teaching in public school, that was one of my top priorities. I'm going to teach science, but I'm going to smother these kids with love. If no one loves them all day, I will. And I tell my kids all the time, oh my gosh, that was amazing. You did so good. Or if they're having a bad day, you know, that's okay. Everybody's due a bad day. We're going to try again tomorrow. And that's okay too. So all of that's my why. We're going to get the schoolwork done. But I want them to leave that hospital and go, man, Miss Katie really loves me. And I'm going to be like, yep, I do.
Katie, thank you so much for coming, taking time out of your busy day to come and hang out and chat with us on this podcast. This has been absolutely delightful. Thank you for all the things that you do here at the hospital to make sure the kids of Arkansas are better today and healthier tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the podcast. Please make sure that you like this video, share it with anyone that you think would benefit from it. Until next time, you guys stay encouraged.